endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad that you're back again for the message this morning. It's so that I'm not up against challenging the clock again, I want to get right into today's message. This is the one that I've been just extra excited about for a couple weeks now. I was excited about last week's message, but I thought I would have had more time last week to lay a foundation for this week, but I just got so excited about the things that we looked at last week, I just ran myself out of time. I hope that you're staying with me in the study. Now, the ones of you that I hear from on a regular basis, I mean, you're getting it, and that's awesome. I'm just thrilled to see it. And others, I wonder if you're following me on this eye-opening journey into another church doctrine destruction, which is exactly what we're doing. But if you're out there and you're scratching your head, each week, well, email me, send me your questions, and let's get these things nailed down. And friends, you've heard me say it 1,000 times now. If what you believe about the Bible has been shaped, formed, or molded by something called, quote, church, or by someone teaching the Bible that's not even figured out that the word church should not even be in our Bibles, if that, quote, Bible teacher has not even figured out 501c3 government corporations, well, friends, if they haven't figured those things out, if they haven't figured out that the full implementation of the kingdom of God has already taken place, then I'm telling you, you better toss everything aside that you ever learned from those places and those people, and you better re-examine every single thing you thought you knew from the Bible. Baptism, H2O water baptism, is 100% church tradition. When the simple statement is made, if H2O, physical water baptism, is for the new covenant age, then take your Bible and open to chapter and verse and tell us exactly what it is. What does it look like? How is it performed? What words, if any, are supposed to be said? Are there supposed to be witnesses? What type of water is supposed to be used? Does it even matter? Okay, if H2O, physical water baptism, is for the new covenant age, then these questions need to be answered. But the reality is, we can barely find out what old covenant baptism is. There's just simply not all that much detail as to what old covenant baptism is. We're going to see some, but the thing about that, when the details and the limited details are actually shown, the thing that we realize very quickly is that very few people in our generation have even talked about it. H2O, physical water baptism, as most people know it today, is nothing but, quote, church tradition that has been passed down from whatever type of, quote, church a person happens to be attending at any given time in their life. None of them, not a single one of them, can open a Bible and show chapter and verse that instructs them on how H2O physical water baptism is to be performed. Yet, almost all the quote churches that are in existence today demand their particular ritual as a goodness, that's some serious tongue twisters there. Let me try this again. Yet, almost all the quote churches that are in existence today demand their particular ritual as a prerequisite for what they call, quote, salvation. Now, what I just said, several times repeated, it's as clear as can be to me. Just show me what it looks like, this thing of H2O physical water baptism. Now, it's as much a stumbling block of confusion to a lot of people as is, or hopefully was, futurism. Quote, church. When someone hears that word, what comes to mind? You know it. I know it. We all know it. It's a building that people go to once, twice, even more times each week to gather themselves together for what they call, quote, worship. Baptism. When someone hears that word, what comes to mind? You know it. I know it. We all know it. It is a ritual performed by a churchman, and it has something to do with physical H2O water. We've been conditioned like Pavlov's dogs that when words are said, thoughts are triggered. And the sad reality is those conditioned thoughts are not founded on the Word of God. They come from, quote, church tradition. Now, and it's perfectly okay and it's perfectly understandable. After this message this morning, someone's going to write to me and they're going to say, well, what about Acts 2:38? Okay, now if you're the one that has that question, I mean, don't let this stop you from writing to me. What I'm saying right now, don't let it stop you from writing me and asking me again about Acts 2:38, but my response is going to be the same as it always is. Please tell me exactly what they were doing in Acts 2:38. Well, they were baptizing. Okay, what did it look like? What were they doing in Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, Matthew 28, etc.? What were they doing? You can't just answer that by saying they were baptizing. I know that. We all know that. But what were they doing? Open your Bible and show us exactly what they were doing, and you can't do it because it isn't there. So, the only thing you can do is resort to, quote, church tradition, some sort of church ritual that has been passed down from generation to generation. And friends, I'm sorry, but the Bible rails on tradition. Tradition doesn't get it. What does the Bible say? All right, hopefully that helps me explain what I mean when I ask, what does it look like? In this series, I've done a lot to show the people listening from the Bible and what little there actually is concerning baptism, but I have shown from the scripture what there is to show what it looks like. Last week, I talked to you about leprosy, and that's where I want to start this morning. I want you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 1. Now, we saw the parallel chapter of this last week in the book of Mark. And we looked at it briefly, but this morning we're going through the instances of lepers in the Gospels. Now, this is Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. And when he was come, this is Christ, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, friends, how many times have we heard or read this story in our lives? And since most people listening this morning are finally awakening to the deception of something called, quote, church, but no doubt they first heard this story while being involved in that thing called, quote, church. And looking back on that experience, How many of you heard the, quote, preacher recoil in absolute horror at what was just read from verse 3? The text says, this one even plainer than the one that we read last week, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Jesus touched the leper. Jesus touched a man that had leprosy. Eyebrows should raise. Hearts should skip beats. Jesus touched a man that had leprosy. And again, why does this not alarm the church man? Well, two reasons, maybe more, but two reasons. The first one is because they don't know the law of God. And two, they've never put themselves in the shoes of the people living in Bible times, which is exactly what we should do every time we open the book to read. We have to see the things in the Bible according to the time that things were written and who they were written to. This was not just another sideshow, cheap magician trick that Christ performed. This was absolutely earth-shaking, and it was earth-shaking on several levels. The first being that he touched someone with leprosy. And second, that he healed a leper and did so without following the law God gave Moses concerning leprosy. We're going to be looking at that shortly. But this was a big, big deal. Jesus touched a leper. Lepers were not even really supposed to be in public. And if they were, they were supposed to be alerting anyone that might get near, unclean, unclean. Now, I know everyone knows that today. If someone was to walk around in public and say, unclean, unclean, what would the response be? Go take a bath. Go take a shower. So Jesus touched the leper. He healed the leper. And then did what? Now verse 4. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. All right, I know every single one of you have wondered, because I have too, at why Jesus told this man not to tell anyone. Well, if we knew what the law of God concerning leprosy was, we'd know exactly why Jesus said not to tell anyone. If the Pharisees and scribes and priests were to have gotten wind of that, that Jesus touched a leper, it would probably have been a full onslaught against Jesus, and it just wasn't time yet. And another case could be made that Jesus actually violated the law God gave Moses. Now, I know that's hard to hear possibly, but it's perfectly okay because he was lawgiver and had the power and authority to do whatever he wants to do with his law. But nonetheless, look what Jesus did after he touched the leper, after he healed the leper, after he cleansed the leper, told the leper to tell no man. Then he said to the healed leper, to the cleansed leper, now go ahead and follow the law God gave Moses concerning leprosy. Show yourself to the priest for a testimony unto them. Jesus did not do anything wrong. He was incapable of wrong. But in the eyes of the people living in the first century, his actions would have been considered deplorable, even after healing, after cleansing this man of leprosy. His acts would have been deemed just absolutely unacceptable. Last week, I made this statement. We have no idea what leprosy today. Now, unless someone changed the name from leprosy to something else today, which is certainly something that they have done, but we can't really identify with what Christ did in this chapter. But at that time, in those Bible times, leprosy was very common. And we're going to see soon, we're going to see this morning, how it was normally, or should I say how it was supposed to be handled according to the law God gave Moses. And I'm going to prove to you again that H2O physical water baptism was part of the prescribed method of dealing with leprosy. You want to know what they were doing in the first century when they were baptizing? Okay, this is it. All right, continue. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, please. Start in verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Again, unclean, unclean, unclean. How do you deal with something that is unclean? It gets washed. It gets washed with physical H2O water. Now, verse 2. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Once again, cleanse the lepers, cleanse the lepers, cleanse the lepers. One of the many things that I need to be better at when preaching is to stay on subject for a longer period of time so that the point really gets driven home. And I wish I was better at it, but sometimes my mind just goes a million miles a minute and I get so anxious to make the next point, sometimes I think I might move on too quickly. So I'm going to try to be better at that. I want you to listen again to what Jesus told his disciples to do. Cleanse the lepers. Cleanse the lepers. Cleanse the lepers. Get it? Cleanse the lepers. Now we're going to see in this message today how to cleanse the lepers. It is by something that the Bible calls baptism. If someone asks you what baptism looks like in the Bible, a great, great place to start is in the book of Leviticus, where God delivered Moses his law concerning lepers and leprosy. How do you cleanse, as in cleanse the lepers? It is done with physical H2O water. Now, we don't identify with this because either leprosy has been renamed to something else, or maybe leprosy doesn't even exist in our culture the way it did in Bible times. But as we're seeing from the Bible this morning, leprosy was a big part of that culture. And we will see what the law of God given to Moses was for those afflicted with leprosy. And apparently, there were a lot of them. All right, go to the very next chapter, Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Again, the lepers are cleansed. How do dirty people become clean? They get washed. They wash themselves in physical H2O water. The lepers are cleansed. We don't identify with this like we should because we don't put ourselves in the shoes of those people in Bible times. I don't know what leprosy is, but they certainly did. And apparently, there were a lot of people afflicted with leprosy, and they were called unclean. John baptized in water for the remission of sins. John's water baptism for the remission of sins was for the requirement under the law God gave Moses concerning the lepers, the unclean. This is why Jesus reported to John specifically that the lepers were cleansed. I showed you last week three instances of the phrase, quote, for the remission of sins. And only one of those phrases dealt with physical H2O water. Not every sin, not every transgression of the law God gave Moses required the administering of physical H2O water, but several of them did. And that water, right alongside the blood, was there to point to the water and the blood that flowed from Jesus' side. That's why it was there. So, the purpose of for showing you the three instances of the remission of sins was to show you it was not always involving water, physical H2O water. A trespass sin, for instance, didn't necessarily require water, but leprosy did, and other uncleanness did. If you want to or care to know what baptism in the first century was, it was for uncleanness described in the law God gave Moses, and including all things must have been clean, physically clean, prior to entrance into the temple. That's what it was. That's why they had pools. That's why they had mikvahs. That's why they had water basins. Those physical cleansing rituals were types and shadows of the cleansing of the heart that comes from repentance of the heart and belief in the heart concerning who the Messiah is. The physical H2O water of the Old Covenant was a type and shadow of the living water that comes from the throne of God and from the Lamb. It's the water of life, where if a man drinks from that water, he will never thirst again. New covenant water is not physical H2O water. Now, Matthew 26, please, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper." Once again, here is Jesus associating with a leper. We can't identify with this in our culture, but in the first century, leprosy was common. It was everywhere. You know, Mark 1:40 is the passage that we were looking at last week, the parallel passage for Matthew chapter 8 where we looked at already. And we're going to see another interesting passage from Luke 4 in just a minute. But we don't identify with leprosy from Bible times, but in Bible times, there were a lot of lepers. Again, maybe we have lepers everywhere today. I don't know. Maybe the name was changed to something else. I don't know. But in the Bible times, leprosy was everywhere. All right, now, take your Bibles and please turn to Leviticus chapter 13. There are two full chapters in the book of Leviticus that deal with the law God gave Moses concerning leprosy. We need to take a look at these laws. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 1. It might get a little gross. I mean, I had someone tell me a while back, and I was actually very sad to read the email. But he told me that he was no longer going to listen to my messages because I was referring to things like what we're getting ready to read this morning. And so I guess we should just tear out the unpleasant things from our Bibles so that we don't have to deal with it. But think about that. Tearing it out is going to make us incapable of understanding the gospel. It will make us incapable of understanding things such as baptism. And if we've placed our hope and trust in Old Covenant physical H2O water baptism, we've missed it badly. I'm still trying to get us to see exactly what physical H2O water baptism was, and it was Old Covenant law God gave Moses. Physical H2O water is for the Old Covenant. That water was changed into wine, which was representative of the blood of Christ. That water, which a man, if a man drink from that well, he'll continue to thirst. But if he drinks from the water that Christ offers, he will never thirst again. The Old Covenant water was changed in the New Covenant world. Now, Leviticus 13 is going to give us great insight concerning leprosy and how it was supposed to be dealt with in Bible times, including the time of John the Baptist in the first century. Verse 1, And the one who is supreme in authority spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair of be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the 7th day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. Hey, do you see what's going on here? Okay, in our modern times, and yeah, I told us not to look at things that way, but rather in the eyes of those in Bible times, but this is called quarantine. If the man still has leprosy, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. I don't know what this was. Leprosy's not a part of our culture, unless its name has been changed to something else, maybe COVID-19. But in Bible times, this was a big deal. Leprosy was rampant and it was serious, and lepers were quarantined. They were kept from the general public. Now verse 6, and the priest shall look on him again the 7th day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab. Now watch, what's he supposed to do? And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague from his head, even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. The flesh also, in which, even in the skin thereof, was a boil and is healed, and in the place of the boil there be a white rising or a bright spot, and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest. And if, when the priest seeth it, behold, it be in the sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if it not be lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spread much abroad on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. But if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. I hope you're seeing how much detail this is all going into about leprosy, something that we don't know anything about. And yet leprosy was rampant in the first century, in the time of Christ, in the time of John the Baptist. All right, now verse 24. Or if there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a white a white, bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning, wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And the priest shall look upon him the seventh day. And if it be spread much abroad on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. If a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry scald, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. And if the priest look on the beard of the scald, and behold, it be not in sight deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague of the scald 7 days. You know, this is hard reading for me. And the only reason that I'm doing it is because I'm trying to stress the fact that leprosy was serious, serious business in Bible times. And it was rampant. There are laws that God laid on the books that he gave Moses to deal with leprosy, and it's very, very detailed. That, so detailed that if you don't read it slow and pay really close attention, you won't even follow it. Let's just skip to verse 32. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the scald spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the scald be not in sight deeper than the skin, he shall be shaven, but the scald shall he not shave, and the priest shall shut him up, shall shut up him that hath the scald 7 days more. And in the seventh day the priest shall look on the scald, and behold, if the scald be not spread in the skin, nor be in sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scald spread much in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the scald be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for yellow hair, for he is unclean. But if the scald shall be in his sight at a stay, and that there is black hair grown up therein, the scald is healed, he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin, he is clean. And the man whose hair has fallen off his head, he is bald, yet he is clean. And he that hath his hair fallen off from the part of his face, from the part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald, yet he is clean. And if there be in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look on it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be whitish red in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, his plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp, shall his habitation be. Boy, if you got leprosy, this was really, really bad. Verse 47, the garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof of linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin. And if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be showed unto the priest. and the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the seventh day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in the skin or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen, or anything of skin, wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on the plague after that it is washed. And behold, the plague have not changed his color, and the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire. It is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without. And if the priest look, and behold, the plague be somewhat dark after the washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. And if it appear still in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And that garment, either warp or woof or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time and shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the warp or woof, or of anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. Friends, there are 59 verses in this chapter alone that deal with leprosy. Whatever it was contagious. It was a major scourge. It was a really bad thing to have leprosy. If you had leprosy, you were quarantined. You were kept away from people until the leprosy was cleansed. And apparently, time was a huge part of the healing process. But over and over and over in this chapter, we see the washing with physical H2O water, a huge part of the cleansing process. During the first century time of Christ, even though Christ obliterated what was stated here in Leviticus 13, even when he touched a leper, even when he healed a leper, though he told the leper not to tell anyone that he had touched them, he still told them to go and show themselves to the priest according to the law shown here in Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13 was in effect in the first century time of Christ, in the first century time of John the Baptist, in the first century time of the disciples. Do you want to understand what the physical H2O water baptisms that they were doing in the first century was? Well, read Leviticus 13. Cleanse the lepers. I made a pretty good argument last week concerning Jesus healing the lepers without the physical H2O water. And this, again, it's hugely symbolic of what I've been telling you about the change in the water. And even though Jesus did not use physical H2O water, the lepers were still cleansed. And how do you cleanse? With water. But Jesus' water is not physical. These healings by Christ were constantly called cleansings, and he was doing it without physical H2O water. And these healings of the lepers, they were baptisms, but there was no physical H2O water. The lepers were cleansed with baptisms. That's what the waters were in Leviticus chapter 13. Okay, don't believe me? All right, just hang on, because I'm not finished with baptism for lepers. We've got more. Continue now with Leviticus 14. I know this is dry. It's hard for me to even read all of this, but it's really, really important that we understand the law that God gave Moses concerning leprosy. Two full chapters in the book of Leviticus dealing with leprosy. Leprosy, whatever in the world it was a really big deal in Bible times. All right, verse 1. And the only one who is supreme in authority spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Okay. I don't know how we can look at this in the book of Leviticus and think that somehow when we get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts, all of a sudden we think there's something new going on with this thing called baptism. Well, somehow, and we all know how, it's called, quote, church. But we got the idea that John the Baptist was creating something totally new and bringing it onto the scene. Okay, even though there's no record of John explaining this new thing, there's no text of John telling anyone that what he was doing is something other than what the law of God had already prescribed. But of course, since the quote church refuses to teach what the Old Testament says, and therefore losing the principles that we're meant to know, they simply would have no way of connecting what John was doing to what God required concerning the law about leprosy. And of course, we know from the text, leprosy was still prevalent in the first century. Cleanse the lepers. Same exact language that we're reading from Leviticus 13 and 14. Now, verse 3. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. Where have we heard that? Numbers 19. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. All right, again, do you see what's happening here? Chapter 13 was showing some practical things that were required, such as washing the clothes, shaving the beards, shaving hair, washing the body. Now we see more of a ritual, a ceremony, maybe even a Thanksgiving ceremony, that the leper was cleansed. And what did it involve? Running water. Friends, do you want to know, or at least get a good idea from the Bible, not from church tradition, but from the Bible, what baptism looked like in the Old Covenant? Here it is. This is it. We've seen practical aspects of it. Now we're seeing ritual aspects of it. John didn't have to tell people what he was doing, because it was already written in the law God gave Moses. This is baptism. This is what is meant by baptism, and this is what it was for. This was a type and shadow of the lasting, permanent cleansing that was coming in the new covenant world. Do you want to understand the Gospels? Then you've got to understand Leviticus 13 and 14. Cleanse the lepers. Cleanse the lepers. Verse 9, but it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. This is baptism. This is cleanse the lepers. This is what John the Baptist was doing. This is what Jesus and his disciples early on were doing. This is what is meant by baptism, cleansing the lepers. And again, for the remission of sins, this is why I showed you last week three instances of remission of sins, but only one of those instances involved H2O, physical water. There was more than one way, more than water, for the remission of sins. But to see a leper cleansed? Absolutely, positively, under the law God gave Moses. And in the lesser baptism that John was performing, physical H2O water was required. Remember, John said, all I'm doing is baptizing you with water, but the one coming after me is going to baptize you with something totally different. And then, not too long after that, we see Jesus changing the baptismal waters into wine, and we see Jesus touching lepers. And there's no record anywhere in Leviticus 13, 14 of the priest touching the leper, and there's no record of the leper being cleansed without physical H2O water. But after Jesus changed the baptismal water into wine, after Jesus met the woman at the well, we see Jesus touching lepers, cleansing lepers, and doing it without the use of physical H2O water. And friends, there's a lesson there. And if we don't get it, we're missing out badly. Now, verse 10. And on the eighth day, he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and one log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean, and the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean. Stop right there. The priest that maketh him clean. How did that happen? Go back up to verse 3 again. The priest that baptized him, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. The priest baptized him, and then the leper went and baptized himself. And those things, before the only one who is supreme in authority at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall take one he-lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and a log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the only one who is supreme in authority. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the only one who is supreme in authority. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the only one who is supreme in authority. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waved to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the 8th day for his cleansing unto the priest, under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, before the only one who is supreme in authority. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the only one who is supreme in authority. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. You know, we have no problem saying, oh yeah, all this is done away with, all this blood part, this is all done away with. But oh, somehow we desperately want to hang on to the water parts of it, don't we? The blood's all gone, but the water certainly isn't. Verse 26, and the priest shall pour the oil into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before the only one who is supreme in authority. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in the hand of the upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, and upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the only one of supreme in authority. And he shall offer one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, which the meat offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the only one who is supreme in authority. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. And the only one who is supreme in authority spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house or of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me that there is as it were a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go in to see the plague. There you have Jesus in the house of Simon the leper. Something's changed. That all that in the house that be made unclean, and afterward the priest shall go in to see the house, and he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which is slight, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house, and shall shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the 7th day, and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house. You know, I don't know what leprosy was, but apparently it could even live without a body. I mean, this was a really big deal. I mean, if we can't see what a big deal this leprosy thing was, we're not going to understand the Bible times in the first century. We won't understand the pools. We won't understand mikveh. We won't understand baptism. It all goes together. We've got to understand this. Verse 40. Then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and shall take other mortar and shall plaster his house. I'm running out of time. Go down to verse 49. And he shall take to cleanse the house 2 birds and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop, and he shall kill the one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and sprinkle the house 7 times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water and with the living bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city in the open fields and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scall, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising and for a scab and for a bright spot, to teach when it's unclean and when it's clean. This is the law of leprosy. Leprosy was a really big deal in Bible times, and a major part of the cleansing of leprosy was the washing of the clothes and the washing of the flesh in running water. This is baptism. Baptism in running physical H2O water. Now, I said I was going to prove it again, that it is 100% totally correct to call these washings baptism. I want you to go back to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 27. This is Jesus speaking in the synagogue. This is the same chapter where Jesus told them that day were the prophets fulfilled in their ears. But of course, you know, he was wrong about that because the prophecies are yet to be fulfilled, right? Well, anyway, this is verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel. This is Jesus speaking. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian. Once again, many lepers. In Bible times, leprosy was rampant. It was everywhere. If we don't know that, then we don't know the significance of it. And we won't understand cleanse the lepers. And we won't understand what baptism was in those days in Bible times. We can't identify with it, either because we don't deal with leprosy today, or the name of leprosy has been changed into something else, but which would have been done purposely, and in my opinion, so that we wouldn't understand what baptism, what H2O water baptism truly was, W-A-S was. It was for the old covenant, not for the new. Jesus said that leprosy was rampant in the time of Elisha, and none of the lepers were cleansed except for one, and that was Naaman the Syrian. And when Jesus pointed that out, look at verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Okay, all of this has something to do with baptism. I need to, we need to, you need to. Go do it yourself. Find out why leprosy was not being healed in the time of Elisha, except for Naaman the Syrian, who we know was cleansed of leprosy in 2 Kings chapter 5. So turn there with me again this morning, 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. I'm doing this to prove to you again that these washings concerning leprosy were baptism. All right. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because by him the Creator had given him deliverance unto Syria, he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." You know, the same could and should be said concerning John the Baptist and the early baptisms that Jesus' disciples performed, at least until John began to decrease. John's water baptism began to decrease, and Jesus' living water baptism began to increase. Verse 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me. Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Creator, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. The servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, 'Wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Once again, friends, do you want to know what physical H2O baptism looked like? Well, this is the best it gets. Besides what we looked from Leviticus 13 and 14 and Numbers 6 and Numbers 19, this is the best it gets. You know, several weeks ago, I told you, get a copy of the Greek Septuagint. You can find it online. This is the first books of the Bible translated from the Hebrew into Greek. And verse 14 says, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. In the Greek Septuagint, the Greek word for dipped, then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. The Greek word for dipped is babto. Naaman baptized himself. Why? Because he had leprosy. Elisha told him to baptize himself in the River Jordan 7 times to be cleansed of leprosy. This is baptism. There's the practical aspect of the physical H2O for the cleansing of leprosy, and there's the ritual aspect of it. There are 2 types of H2O water baptism, and we see them in the Bible, in the Gospels, and in the book of Acts. They are practical washings, and there are ritual washings. The ritual washings were for thanksgivings, for being made clean from leprosy. There are physical washings, baptisms that were required before entering the temple because no uncleanness, dirt, filth was allowed in the temple. So people washed themselves. They baptized themselves in physical water before they entered the temple. When you see what looks like physical H2O baptisms in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, this is what it is. It's all required in the Old Covenant, and it's not for the new. This is why we see these things in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. The old covenant was still in effect because the temple was still in existence. The law that God gave Moses, even though we see glimpses of Jesus showing that cleansing was available without physical H2O water required by the law God gave Moses, that time was in the process of vanishing away. But nonetheless, it was still there, because the temple was still there. But coming soon, when the temple came down at AD 70, all the physical cleansing aspects of the law God gave Moses would no longer be required. The physical water was completely changed into the spiritual water that was Jesus Christ, the Messiah King. In the last hour, I showed you how leprosy was rampant in Bible times. I showed you how leprosy was rampant in the first century. I showed you the law God gave Moses concerning leprosy, and it required physical H2O water baptism. I showed you Naaman the Syrian, who had leprosy, and he was told to go and baptize himself 7 times in the River Jordan in order to be cleansed of leprosy. It is no coincidence that John was doing the exact same thing that Elisha was doing. John did not bring something new onto the scene. H2O water baptism was for the cleansing of infirmities such as leprosy. The remission of sins mentioned 3 times in the Gospels did not always require physical H2O water, but it definitely did when leprosy, which was rampant, was involved. We haven't heard music from our brother Paul up north for several weeks now. I'm done for this morning, so let's close with another song from Paul. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do.
Yah is my strength and my song. He has become my deliverance. He is my El, and I praise Him. Elohim of my Father, I exalt Him. Yahweh is a man of battle. Yahweh is his name. He has cast Pharaoh's chariots and his army into the sea, and his chosen officers are drowned in the sea of reeds. The depths covered them, they went down to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has become great in power. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has crushed the enemy. In the greatness of your excellence, you pulled down those who rose up against you, sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble with the wind of your breath. The waters were heaped up, the flood stood like a wall, the depths became stiff, stiff in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I pursue, I overtake, I divide the spoil, my being is satisfied on them. I draw out my sword, my hand destroys them. You did blow with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty water. Like you, O Yahweh, among the mighty ones, who is like you, great in set apartness, awesome in praises, working wonders. You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your loving commitment, you led the people you redeemed. In your strength, you guided them to your holy dwelling. Peoples heard, they trembled, anguish gripped Philistia. Chiefs of Edom were troubled, the mighty men of Moab. Trembling grips them, all of Canaan melted. Fear and dread fell on them by the greatness of your arm. They're as silent as a stone until your people pass over. Oh, Yahweh, until the people pass over. You bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Yahweh, which you have made for your own dwelling, the set apart place, O Yahweh, which your hands prepared. Yahweh reigns forever and ever.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.